Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
Now let's look at Psalm 119. As we begin this part of the book of Psalm in verse 49, we're reminded that life can really be tough. We sing song about fears within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come. Life can be so hard. How do you get through this hard life? This psalm is going to talk about afflictions and persecutions. Those things that come from within and those things that come from without can really grind us down. How do we get through this old hard, struggling life? It would be doubly hard and terrible if we didn't have some guidance, wouldn't it? We've got the Bible to see us through, and that's what this is talking about. How the Bible gives us strength and hope and comfort and courage and all along life's rugged way. There's hard times. But all along their way, there's those blessings and tender mercies and gracious promises of God that help us along the way. We find those in God's Word. If we know God's Word, if we'll keep it close to our hearts, if we'll study it and live it and get these words off this page onto our hearts, we'll be equipped to deal with those hard struggles of life. It does get hard. And there could be hard times ahead of us we have not even thought of yet. But we can get through. We've got God's promises to see us through. And there's a lot of that in the passages we're going to be talking about today that discuss that. This is real life experience. The man that is going through life with his Bible in front of him, looking up toward God and making it and being successful in what his intended purpose on this earth is. Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. God remembers. The Bible is a book that is filled with promises, but they're not empty promises and not broken promises. They're promises made and promises kept. And we read these promises in the Bible, and we can go back and read how God made promises, and even though sometimes it looked at this is just not working out, and then the change of events comes and they do work out. God's promises are sure. God remembers His promises. It tells us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not slack concerning His promises. So we can hope. Now, Abraham learned in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21 that what God has promised, He is able to perform. And so we've got the promises of God. We sing that song, standing on the promises of God. And that's what enables us to stand. And these are the kind of promises that give us a hope in Romans 5 and verse 5, a hope that maketh not ashamed. We can count on God and we will not be disappointed. If we'll do our part, God's promised us, I'm going to do my part. And together we can make it through the hardships of this life. Romans 8 and verse 24 tells us we're saved by hope. Oh, if we didn't have hope, as it says in the book of Hebrews, as an anchor for the soul in those troubled waters of life, what do we hold on to? That hope is anchored beyond the veil. We've got an eternal, everlasting hope and spiritual things that can weather the worst storms of this life. And so this psalm says, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word has quickened me. God is called in the book of Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, God is called the God of all comfort. What do you do when you're faced with the hardships of life? Where do you go to assuage that troubled mind? Well, you go to God's word and you're comforted. You've got the promises. You have hope that will see you through. Look what it says here in verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Yet I've not declined from thy law. The proud don't understand this, do they? They'll see someone trying to serve God and they go through hard times, and the proud would be those that would cast derision on you for your very faith. What's it getting for you? Oh, what good does that do you? Where now is thy God, as they would say to Israel when they would suffer those hard times? The thing to do, you just stay faithful to God. You just stay faithful to His Word. He'll see you through. We've got His promise for that. And look in verse 52. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself. Read that Old Testament. Read those old stories. Look how God's dealt with men through the past. You read about Joseph and all the things he went through until finally he was cast into prison as a result of lies. But he did not forsake his God. And it says, but God was with him. You remember Moses, what he went through? And Daniel and Job. God sees us through. Remember those judgments of old. You know how God dealt with those in times past? And that's why it tells us in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4 that whatsoever things are written aforetime, they're written for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so build your faith by looking at those stories on how God has dealt with men of faith down through the years. And in those darkest hours, they held to God and God comes through. And then you hold to God. You hold on to that hope. You see what a power that word can be to you in helping you? Verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. One of my mother's expressions is my horrors. She'll see something and say, well, my horrors. And that's what David's saying here, or the psalmist here saying, horror. I tell you, God's judgments of old show you how God deals with tender mercies and kindness and helps pull you through when you hold to Him. But look at the horrors of those that forsake Him. You go back and read about Korah's rebellion. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah. You read about God's judgment on the inhabitants of Jerusalem that forsook His way, and then be horrified at what we see. So some of the things I hear about God, some of those things that will pass for art, that is unmentionable blasphemy against my God. Horror takes hold on me to see those things. Indignation and horror concerning those things. God's judgments of old give us hope, but I'll tell you what, it also gives us warning, doesn't it? About what happens to those who walk away from God, and what a horrible day it's going to be in the day of judgment for some and for many that have treated my God the way they have. Look at this in verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I was reminded of that song. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Singing those promises of God. The statutes of God becoming our songs. And then in verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I've kept thy law. Or are you like me? Sometimes my problems are so big at night. After the house gets quiet, you go to bed and you're almost asleep, and then you think, and there's that problem. And it's just so big. And it's so much worse at night. If I could just remember in the morning, it's going to be a little problem again. But it seems so big at night. And then go to God's Word at night. That's what I've done before. Just get up in the middle of the night, says, I'm not going to sleep with this problem. Open God's Word. Read those promises. Read His assurance. Know what those things, and in the night, let that comfort you. So you can face those things the next morning with God's help. There's nothing's going to happen tomorrow that you and God together can't handle. And so let those songs be, let it bring you comfort in the night. And then you have this joy. Look in verse 56. I had this because I keep thy precepts. Now, if you're walking with God and you're doing His will and your heart is bent toward Him and you're making decisions consistent with that, you have great comfort in difficult times. But when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. If you know it is well with your soul, you can face those sea billows of life and come through that. So that's being expressed in this psalm. Look at 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I've said that I'll keep Thy words. Now, what do you want out of life? That's a question you need to stop and ask yourself. What is your life goal? What is it you hope to be? And what do you hope to get out of living? Is it material things? Is that where you've centered your goal? Is it just ease and pleasure? Is that what it is? Go back and, like we were talking about in Sunday school, read the book of Ecclesiastes and see where the great King Solomon had all those things that were vanity. And when he was old, he didn't have pleasure in those things. They did not give him that joy and satisfaction. He said, you remember this, young people? You fear God and keep His commandments. This is what living's about. This is the whole duty of man. So what do you want out of life? There's a little song that says, to take the world but give me Jesus. Isn't it? That ought to be our portion. What do you want out of life? Well, I'll take Jesus. That's what I want. There's a song old Hank Williams used to sing. I like to hear that old sad voice coming out of Alabama. Hank Williams would sing "The House of Gold." Now, I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and lose my soul. So think to yourself, what is your portion? It says here, the Lord is my portion. I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. You cannot escape in this psalm the fact that the whole heart is involved in this. How many times have we read that expression? My whole heart in this psalm. And a half-hearted effort toward God. If you're fitting God into your busy life, you're not getting these blessings. This is for those who put God first and seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. And it says, be merciful to me according to thy word. Fall on my ways, verse 59, and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Stop and think. Consider your ways, said Haggai the prophet, on two different occasions. Consider your ways, thus saith the Lord. Consider your ways. What are we doing with our lives? And when we consider the passing things of this world with the eternal things of God, stop and think. And if you're going down that broad way with that great crowd, and oh, it looks nice. But I was reading the other day where it said, you know, the broad way starts out easy and then it gets rough. It's the narrow way that starts out hard and then gets easy. You're going down that broad way. Don't wait. Look, consider your way and turn your feet. And find that narrow way and strive to enter therein. It says in verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. This is not something to put off. This is not a thing you can just delay on. And someday, now's the day of salvation. Turn out. You don't know what will happen. Turn. Now, seek after the Lord with your whole heart. And these physical things, upon which I know in our country, that's our culture. The physical material blessings has become our curse. Because it's turned our minds away from the spiritual things that are priceless. And here's what happens. The bands of wicked have robbed me. But I've not forgotten thy law. You know, Jesus said, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. And so these things are, you can't count on these physical things of this world. You can count on God's law. Look at verse 62. At midnight, I will raise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know, Paul and Silas did that. They'd been preaching the gospel in Philippi and they were beaten and cast into prison, into the inner prison, and put into stocks. And at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. That's what the power of God's Word can do to you. With a body shackled and in pain, but a spirit that is healthy and free, and sing praises unto God. And so at midnight I'll rise to give thanks. And then verse 63, and here's how I feel about some of you. verse 6, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. But when I see other people do what's right and put their lives on course with God, I'm their companion. I just love that so much. I want to be identified with you. And you know how that is. When you see people stand up and do what's right, there's an affinity you have with them. If you're doing that, you just want to be right with them. They're your buddies. They're your friends. The earth, O Lord, is filled with thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Look at 65. Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. You want so many mistakes in life are just poor judgment, aren't they? And sometimes it's not really choices between right and wrong. Sometimes these judgments are choices between better and best. Now God has shown us the way that is right, and we can choose the right, and we got to use judgment in doing that. But then among the right ways, what's the best way? How would you know? If you will dedicate yourself to be a Bible student, that reveals to us the mind of God and the mind of Christ, such that you'll know how to prioritize things the way God does. You'll know how to think through things the way God does. And let His thoughts be your thoughts. Then you'll have the background and the knowledge to make those judgments. A man that uses good judgments is a man that knows how to apply God's Word to life. That's what that's talking about. And so if we know the Bible, why, a man of good judgment is a man that first knows his Bible. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I believe thy commandments. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep thy word. I want to jump down to verse 71 on that. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might keep thy statutes. We don't think of afflictions as something good, but I'll tell you what, if your affliction has caused you to stop and consider your ways, that's a blessing. It's a blessing from God that you suffered like that. If it brought you closer to Him. People say, well, why is there suffering in this world if there's a God? They don't know the value of suffering and the benefits that can come from suffering. And so, yes, life can be hard and it can be tough. The thing to do is let us learn from that, not to trust in uncertain things, but build our hopes on things eternal. In verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, and great is your reward in heaven. You don't have to worry about men's lies. God knows the truth, and the truth will out. And you can, by righteous living, put to silence the voices of foolish men. And so you just do what's right. And you stay with what's right. And you can't stop people from lying about you, but your very life can expose their lie. And it'll be seen for what it is. And so, even when you're lied about, you can hope in God's Word and overcome that. In verse 70, their heart is fat as grease. But I delight in thy law. That doesn't sound like a very good heart, does it? A big old fat and greasy heart. It's gotten fat and greasy over the things filling that heart with the vain things in this world. That's what's made that heart fat and greasy. It's like Jesus said, this people's heart is waxed gross. And so that fat, greasy heart, it's hard to penetrate that fat, greasy heart with the Word of God. And this people's heart is fat as grease. But me, just determine in yourself, I'm going to delight in thy law. We did verse 71, so look at verse 72. The law in thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You cannot buy the comfort and joy that you have from living according to God's Word. That's not something that's up for sale. Gold and silver won't purchase it, but it's available to every one of us that'll be a student of this book and to live these things. Thy hands, in verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may keep thy commandments. God knows what he's talking about. When he's telling you how you ought to live, he knows what he's talking about. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. If you get a new appliance, you get a little instruction book with it, don't you? And if you really want that appliance to serve you well, you'll abide by those instructions. It tells you in there not to do stupid things with this appliance. You ever seen that? Some of these things are ridiculous. It'll tell you not to. Who would have ever thought that? I guess somebody tried to do that. And so it tells you. But people do stupid things with their lives. God's given us the instruction manual. And we can do that. And so thy hands have made me and fashioned me. In verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word. Are the people that fear God glad when they see you? I hope so. For many of you, I'm so glad when I see you, because you're trying to do what's right. And that's a great comfort to me. I hope you're glad when you see me. And those that love God and work along together, they're glad to see one another. I tell you what, you don't have to beg them to come to services. They're glad to be there and to be with one another. And that's why they come. It's not a burden. It's a joy. And then it says, O Lord, I know, verse 75, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to the word of thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Look at those beautiful words. It talks about here his merciful kindness, his tender mercies. God wants to bless us. God loves us, and he's laid these comforts and joys and hopes and promises and strength. It's all there for us. And what we need to do is learn how to take advantage of them and learn how to use them and possess them and learn of them by studying His Word. The Word of God tells us about the God that we serve. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed. That's a real contrast there. Pride and shame. The pride don't know shame, but let them be ashamed. Look what it says, let the proud be ashamed. For they deal perversely with me without a cause, but I'll meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Who should be ashamed? Those who are poor in spirit and humble before God have no need to be ashamed. The proud, shame on them. But those who are only ashamed of where they failed our Lord and not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, they have no reason for shame. So when the proud hold you in derision and would shame you, shame on them. My God and I will go through this together. Then let's look. My soul has fainted for thy salvation, 81, but I hope in thy word. My soul fainted. This salvation, I think, here is in terms of a rescue. My soul has fainted for thy rescue, this need for God. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. And I do not forget thy statutes. What's that talking about? What's a bottle in the smoke? Well, as I read about this, the commentators say, no, what bottles were. And and how they would get smoky, and bottles would be made out of skins and leather. And you hang them up in the tent or in the dwelling, and they didn't have nice chimneys with good draft and all. They just built a fire right there in the tent, and the smoke would accumulate up there where the bottle's hanging. And what would it do? Well, that old bottle would become dried and wrinkled and sooty. And the trials of life can do that to you. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. And yet, you've got God's Word. You do not forget thy statutes, verse 83. And then notice this pitiful plea. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? That reminds me of those saints under the altar crying out, how long, O Lord? We read about in the book of Revelation. When are you going to help me? The proud have dig a pit for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. That's in verse 86. Now, which of you, seeing your children cry out for help, would not rush to their aid? Jesus tells us that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, does not our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts unto us? And if you ask for bread, will He give you a stone? If you ask for fish, will He give you a serpent? Help thou me. And God tells us, you can pray to me just that way. Go to God. Come to me in prayer and ask for that help. God will help you. And then it says, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, and I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. Things. But let me encourage you to consider your ways and turn your feet unto the Lord.